Hi, I'm Scott Moser. We're for IBM. And I'm going to talk today about some work I've done to aid in automating the generation of Kickstart files. If I get an idea, how many of you are Kickstart users or have used it before? Okay, good. I've figured that. All right, so really quick, what is Kickstart? It's basically a method for providing responses to Anaconda, which is the Red Hat or Fedora's installer question, just providing answers to their questions. So if you've done a normal any Fedora or RHEL install, at the end of the install it says it wrote the Kickstart file to /root/anaconda.tfg, and so if you ever want to get a file reproduced later or just need to look at it, it's easy to get good examples. So basically Kickstart is a framework for automation of installation, and so you may wonder why in the world you'd want to automate the generation of automation of something that's there to drive automation. So if you've got, a large amount of files, this is the maintenance point here. If you've got a large amount of files of systems that you're managing, you've got a lot of different Kickstart files. You've got different operating systems, either RHEL or Fedora, or even different versions of the same distribution, or different major releases of the same distribution. They've gone through changes in the Kickstart format. They've not been backwards compatible. So at points you need to make amends for that. Obviously doing anything automated is less error prone than managing config files by hand. Can't tell you the number of times I've tried to edit a file and think I'm doing okay and then done the install off it and it crashes for some reason because I did it wrong. The two points on the top are the bigger ones that I think are advantageous. In what I'm demonstrating here, it gives the ability to configure the system based on its actual resources rather than and what the booted operating system found rather than what you had stored. And so you can configure systems intelligently that you've not seen before intelligently and use all their disks or all their Ethernet cards or make use of their resources. The second is you can do logging of your installs such that a centralized server can maintain at least the last installed version that was done via it of what's on what system, and so you can go through and figure out where things are. So here's an example, Kickstart file, and I kind of highlighted some things that differ from system to system. Obviously, a system's going to have different Ethernet cards. You may want to set a different root password. The disks, it'll have different number of disks or possibly be labeled differently, and those will possibly change from the, even the boot order, boot order spin up for the disks, they could be named differently or whatnot. And then also you may want to do different packages based on some characteristics of the system. Well, that's not good. So this is a flow of a generic Kickstart install. Basically, the target system, or the victim, you've told it somehow to do an, you've specified this is an HTTP. You've told it get a Kickstart file from some server, named ks/victim-f8.ks. The install server then responds to the GET, passing it back a customized Kickstart file for that that system based on what the URL you gave it, and then at the end you get the successful automated install. So the bootloader ran, either the user or the bootloader provided the kickstart URL. Anaconda configured the networking in the first stage, downloaded the kickstart file, and then which told it where the second stage was. You got the installers and you went on. So this is the system that I'm using, and the flow changes a little bit. And the target system, instead of specifying KSSQL, in the previous one I had hostname -F8, in this one I just tell it the label's F8. I want to install Fedora 8, and the server then figures out, based on knowledge it has, what NFS server, or what method, how to get at that those resources, and returns that, and a prescript primarily. So this is the only thing that gets returned in the first stage, and then the target system executes the prescript, which collects a bunch of information about it, about itself, and calls back to the server, says, you know, this is the command line I was passed. These are the NICs I have, the Ethernet devices, the disks, and the memory. And it also passes back, and now, you know, I want the stage 2 file for this. So the server then can log that, process the input, and pass back the remaining portion of the kickstart file. I didn't point out well that up here, this has got a percent include, and that's what really makes this all possible. Is Anaconda, not really sure of how the ordering is done, but very late in the ordering, it resolves its includes. So the prescript actually writes the file that's included. So it runs and it redirects its output to /temp/stage2 in that example, and and then at the end, it does a wget. It redirects its output somewhere, and then at the end, it does a wget and saves the output to /temp/stage2, so that it can be consumed by the installer. Right, and then the percent include reads that file in, and it kind of goes on its way. So, any questions at this point? Everybody understand the basic idea of what's going on? A couple of benefits to doing this is this is what I have right now. I have something, so it extends the command line syntax that you can pass to Anaconda on the bootloader command line that you can pass to Linux if you pass any of these commands. They have kind of meta information to the installer. So they talk directly to the server backend, and then it changes what it generates based on that. So let's see. The first one is auto, and the default is 1, because by default I want things to do auto. But if you want to step through it, and kind of want to see what it does, if you just set auto to 0 by passing the command, any of the parameters are prefixed with an X on the command line. So if you add to the kernel command line xauto equal 1, then, or xauto equal 0, then the installer uses the keyword interactive to kickstart, which means pre-fill all the values with the defaults that it got from the kickstart file, and then you can just sit there and hit next as long as you want, and you don't have to, you'll have all the values filled in, but you can change anything you needed to change. The second command there is disks. If you were aware that you did not want the installer to use a couple disks that were in your system, right? If you've got a permanent home or something and you wanted to avoid using that, if you pass just the list of disks you want it to partition, it'll wipe them clean and use those and leave the other ones untouched. The NICs is similar. If you want, you can give it a list of NICs that you want it to configure, otherwise it will leave them alone. And then RAID is by default, if there's multiple disks in a system, they'll do an LVM across all of them, or a RAID LVM across them, and then put a big partition on it. And then zero MBR is, if you're just paranoid and don't want it to zero your MBR, which is quite reasonable, then you won't pass that. So those are the flags I have. I mean, obviously, it's going forward, there's plenty of things to improve, and you can add flags by changing the back end and then improve syntax and things. So as far as going forward, things I'd like to do, I don't actually have logging done, but I mean it's easy enough to do, right? You just need to install it or log somewhere that the system was installed, the MAC address they called it, and ideally I'd like to store actually the generated kickstart file, the full kickstart file, so that later on you could replay it without having to go through any dynamic, and it would be fully reproducible in that sense. And then I think it'd also be nice to log which systems the installer has seen, what versions they have on them, and you know, you get a web UI to show you those sorts of things. And then I'd like to have, also like for right now, everything's just completely automated, but I'd like for the server to be able to store like some sort of templates on the server, and such that, you know, as the client, as it recognizes the client, it would use those values rather than expecting the client to pass them, you to pass them on the command line, or some other way. And then right now, I put a couple Fedora mirrors in there for Fedora 9. But I'd like, ideally, the back end allows you to do either NFS, kind of point NFS directory, and if that's not there, if it can't find an install to work off of, then it'll just pass a Fedora mirror, you know, and then, so if you don't have the files, you can still do the install. The last point is, as far as I'm aware, when the Anaconda logger, when the Anaconda comes up and does the initial wget, when it does the initial wget or the initial HTTP get, there's no way of identifying what version of what initrd or what installer is doing that. So basically I have to pass install Fedora 9. Right, the client has to tell you what to store by selecting in a boot menu or something, but really you shouldn't need that. It'd be better if the bootloader gave me if Anaconda stage 1 passed some sort of information that could identify I'm looking for this release, then it's easy enough for the server to go through and to map that to what an actual release is, and then it can be automatic to the user. There is information in the installer that does it, because if you've ever passed an incorrect URL or URL to a previous build or something, it's got a file, I think it uses.
Your client side already knows this because the next server's provided the boot ISO that relates to a given version.
Well, okay, so the next server, how did the next server do that?
Because it can dispatch on MAC address, it can dispatch on IP, it can dispatch on any, dispatch on a command line passed in.
Right. Well, so I'm trying to avoid any of that. I'm trying to, I see what you're saying. So, let's see. Okay, so the... Yeah, so the, well, I guess you just, yeah, you're right. Like you could define that prior to, so I have it right now, see, all the, you just, well, there's a generic installer that comes, let's see, there's a generic installer menu that comes up, right, and so then you just pick your OS, but you're right, that information could be there too, so. Yeah, that's a good point. So this I kind of glossed over earlier, but basically this is the flow of the initial install file At the end, it just does a wget of the stage 2 URL and dumps it to a file, and that's and which is included by up here. So all it does is it writes the output of the second stage to that file, and then that's included. The order is obvious, is non-intuitive there. So there's right now this the resources if you're interested in seeing, I have my slides and my slides and other information up here, and there's the source code there. And I'm actually right now I don't have I'll put up a I've been doing all this on in a virtual machine, so I have a small Fedora install. It's like a couple hundred megabytes. And I boot that, attach it to one network, and boot and attach the others. And then I can do client installs via VM. I can actually, I'll show you that. Let's see, so anybody at the end there. So there, yeah. So I'll go ahead and try to show you how it's working. And
the set of your presentation again?
Oh, sorry. It's
Ricky's.net/wiki/auto-ks.
Booting a second VM, and the VM is attached to the network of the. These two networks are attached, so now he's doing a boot, a BOOP request, or a DHCP request on this network. There he shows the DHCP. I don't actually understand why he does it the second time, but I don't know if that's a bug in what I've done or what.
It's because when you boot the kernel, there's no network.
When you do Pixie first, it has to belong to the kernel.
Oh, well, there were two. It shows retrieving. Does it twice? It gets two.
First you got a Pixie, and then
the. I didn't Pixie. I cheated. Okay. The reason I don't Pixie is because in QEMU, that's what I'm using here. The Pixie boot, I don't know, maybe I'm doing something wrong, but on the tap, like on a tap network, like it's ungodly slow. Like it would take a couple minutes to boot an NRD, a kernel in an NRD.
I asked about that, and basically rewrote all the backend code for it, because I've noticed this lovely little blue screen waiting for you, and it's just like, God, this is slow. It's just because of all the code being rewritten, they know about it.
Okay.
Also, so, it needs a 30-second delay for spanning tree to stabilize.
Well. Doesn't show, I don't know, I haven't seen that, actually. I haven't seen any indication of that, but, yeah, so I actually had it working faster at some point, but I don't know what did it. And I thought I changed away from using QEMU's complete user mode networking because it was worse than TAP. It was very slow. And I thought when I changed the TAP that it got much faster on the TFTP, but I don't think it ended up doing it. So, Well, so basically, you're watching an automated install, but the idea is, let's see, I can.
So can you show the log file where it retrieved the, or provided the information requested by the include on the ASCFG balance?
Let's see. So I don't have an easy way.
var log, expert log.
Yeah.
FTP. But what type of install is this?
Wait, var log what?
Is it FTP or HTTP?
HTTP, yeah.
It's in the HTTP access log.
Right.
HTTP.
So that, yeah, so I mean, it's not clear. One of the charts.
Can you make the font bigger, please?
Oh. One of the charts shows, I mean, there, you know, that's got your URL encoding, so it's not ideal. This is the, let's see. Sorry, I'm not very good with that. Let's see. That was my. So this is the information that gets back. It just collects right now. It collects the NICs and the Ethernet and the disks and the memory. So obviously all kinds. Anything you can collect from PROC or SIS, you can then pass back and use for information. Let's see. I can show you. An example, the page there has the, this is what the prescript looks like. That's just URL and code function for to use wget correctly.
If you included the content of /.diskinfo in that request, then you can uniquely identify which installer.
Right, but the reason, but that's the second part. And so the initial get has the F9 label in it, and at that point you don't know the content, you don't know what you need, right? And then when it comes back, then you're in NRD's, your second stage is loaded, but the problem is that you need that for to determine the NFS mount or the method, right? So you need it at that first stage, and that's why I have to pass it in as a label. So effectively, though, I just like the script just kind of digs through PROC and finds the information I wanted. But you know, any information you want to get off the system, if you can program, you know, just pull it that way, give it back to the server, and then the server can make intelligent decisions based on what it found. Figure, you know, one thing you could do is look at available partitions for something that's labeled home or something, and leave that, you know, and not touch that one, or you know, all kinds of things you could do because. Programmatically, rather than because you if you have the information about the system that you're looking at, and let's see, put my installer. So we're still installing there. I wonder if I messed something up because I was hoping that it would show me interactive install. And then let's see. So if I go on. And that's the dynamically written stage two for this system. Not terribly anything wonderful to look at, but so that's the idea. That's I found it very useful when I was managing a large amount of systems, and I was and actually doing installs of different distributions lots of times, and also pulling hardware out and putting into other systems, so my Kickstart files would always fall apart. Does anybody have any other questions? Any comments?
So, do you have any infrastructure behind this to look up MAC addresses so you know what kind of thing to install?
No.
Is it based on something on your server?
I don't do anything with it, but right now it doesn't do it, but you know, it gets the MAC address, and so you can pretty easily go through and program whatever, but I haven't done anything. I think might be useful, I don't know, is if Fedora actually offered a system like that, like this, that would just allow you to, you know, to boot and do an automated install of your system. You just pointed at, you know, a generic Kickstart or a generic URL, and it said, okay, well, it has access to all the mirrors and everything, and could fill out an automated Kickstart such that you never had to, you could do base default installs automatically, and you wouldn't have to set up any infrastructure. Anything else? All right, well, very short. Thank you.